This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 164 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
Yep, my name's John. What?
I didn't have a lot to watch. Well, I didn't watch a lot.
Okay. There's a difference.
Is what I mean. Did we ever talk? We didn't talk about the Cloak and Dagger finale, did we?
No, I've got it on my list.
Okay, I watched
it. You
hadn't
watched it.
Okay, I did watch it. I remember, because like, I kind of listened to you in a little bit. We were chatting about it. Like, the little clip I heard of us chatting about it, I'm like, seems like we talked about it, but I don't think we did.
Nope. I made mention of the fact that they did good use with
yes,
music.
Yes, yes. And I made some sort of a statement like, well, following true to the comics, then Tandy and Tyrone?
Tyrone, yeah.
Yeah, have to go off together.
Right.
Like, they're a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what we see in that episode.
Yeah, they kind of built towards it this season. Not the way that you normally would, like, you know, with romantic feelings and lost glances, but, you know, Tyrone had one romantic interest, and she's now married to Aloha. And
which, you know, okay, they got married pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, the Aloha, I mean, they're mortal beings. They don't mess around. She made the offering, and they were like, boom, done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so unlike the first season where we got to see the PS at the end with Mayhem coming up out of the water.
Yeah.
You know, this one we didn't really get to see a setup of the next, even though they were kind of talking about the missing people that they were going to go look for.
Yeah. Was there anything after them riding away on the bus?
You saw the Cloak and Dagger logo, and then it was more of them riding away on the bus.
Right, when
he joins her.
Yeah.
But other than that, nope.
All in all, I mean, this just almost feels like if we don't get another season, we're good.
Yeah. Like a signing off or even a reboot.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, like, Tyrone's parents are back together, but they believe he's dead.
Right.
Which is shitty. Like, I mean, it opens him up to be free to go away and do his thing in another area, but they still think he's dead.
Yeah.
You know? One of those, you have to pretend that you're dead for everybody to move on in life.
Yeah, and, you know, Mayhem / O'Reilly made it possible for Tyrone's mom to, I guess, live guilt-free because she made it look like...
oh, my God, she dressed him up.
Made it look like Connor's hung himself in the fucking shooting gallery.
With a sign that said guilty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a decent season.
I liked their showdown against despair.
Yes.
Because it was all psychological.
Yes.
You know, they were trapped inside their own heads, and they were trapped in the alternate reality.
And they had to, like, face their own worst enemy. Actually, it was funny because they faced each other's, and then when that didn't work, then they had to face their own.
Yep.
And then that didn't work because it's like Tyrone and Tandy have kind of connectedly bonded themselves together so much. And you're right, when it's not a love, it's like friendship and trust.
Yes.
That they're like, you're not Tyrone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're not Tandy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, she couldn't beat up her father, so she's like, why don't you take mine and I'll take yours?
Yes.
And then they were coming out on top, and Despair's like, nope.
Yeah.
And he reset them again, and they're like, so they had to come up with a new way, you know, and basically say, I'm stronger. You know? She was like, I leveled up.
Right.
I've taken that power that you, you know, instilled in me, and I'm going to own it. And so instead of a little tiny knife,
she now has a sword.
Yep. After he cut that big promo talking to her about daggers and stuff like that, I'm like, that's a sword. You know,
it's not a dagger. No. What she had was basically a dagger.
Yeah.
This is a sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, and then he kind of forgave himself, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, you're trying to be perfect. You're trying to hold everybody together, but you're not doing anything to help anybody. You need to let them live their lives and be okay with their misery and be okay with you not being perfect.
Right.
That was really good. It was, I mean, the whole season was just one big psychological thing, which I appreciated.
Keeping on the Marvel kick, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
I'm just not enjoying this season at all.
It feels very scattered. Like, we have to have an episode that deals with the people in space.
Yeah.
And then we have an episode with the people down on Earth.
I think I'm pissed off they brought back Coulson.
And we still don't understand what's going on with that.
Right.
Except that he's trying to kill... Okay, so this was an interesting episode. This was the one that held my interest more than anything, but it still kind of ticked me off.
Yep.
So this was Code Yellow.
Yep.
And this is where we realize that Deke is still around.
And he's using S.H.I.E.L.D. technology to make stuff.
And the framework he's, you know, creating, yeah. He's basically spinning a profit.
Right.
But I thought it was really cool when his best buddy there came and did extracted him. And he's like, wait, you were S.H.I.E.L.D. all the time? He goes, you didn't really think that we were going to let you sell our stuff and not keep an eye on you.
Right, right, yeah.
Like, they've known the whole time. but, yeah, so this version of Coulson and his posse are trying to stop or kill people who don't belong here. Like, they killed that one guy by stabbing him in the chest, and, yeah. Like, all the stuff stuck out of him, like the black,
right.
Not tendrils, but, like, spikes. And then, of course, you know, of course, the bat thing there got out of him and got into, you know, Yo-Yo's new love.
Right, Keller.
Because, of course, it had to. It
had to be him.
I'm watching the whole
time. From episode one, I'm like,
his shirt's got a nice shade of red in it.
Yeah. No, you know.
Yeah. Well, I kept watching, and, like, you know, the bat is flying around, and I'm like, Yo-Yo's here. She could easily snatch it out of the air. Why is she not snatching it? Why is she not using her power? And then when it hit him in the mouth, and he's sitting there going, ooh, ooh, and it's sticking out, and she just stands there staring at him, I'm like, you could run over there and grab it and pull it out. There's literally nothing stopping you. Why? Okay, now it's inside of him. Well, that's a convenient plot device.
So now Yo-Yo and Matt can get back together.
Yeah. But... The Coulson clone found Deke and said, you don't belong here.
Right.
Just like he said to the other guy.
Yeah.
And Deke believes that it's because he's out of his time. Like, right. He was supposed to be in the future, and they brought him back. And we still don't know, though. We still don't know what the hell this Coulson thing is.
In the previous episode, there's that space hunter that was looking for Fitz.
Yep.
And he tells Fitz the same thing, basically, like, you don't belong here.
Right.
So I wonder if those two people are in cahoots or related or in the same posse or whatever it is.
Yep.
But either way, I mean, I appreciate the space portion of this season.
But it doesn't feel like
S.H.I.E.L.D. We only had four episodes, I realize, but...
It doesn't feel like S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Everyone's off doing their own thing. But this doesn't feel like
S.H.I.E.L.D. I think I'm just pissed off that they came back for another season. I was happy the way it ended. Mm-hmm. They should have ended it there.
Yep.
You know, end S.H.I.E.L.D. Marvel Cinematic Universe has their big Avengers Endgame, and now we reboot and start over. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s, the TV show's gone.
Yep.
You know, and we just have the movies.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. I think that's what it is. I think it's like the way Scrubs ended, and then they brought back and they had that extra season. And I know they've already renewed S.H.I.E.L.D. for another season after this. The way they brought back that other season of Scrubs, it's almost like I'm annoyed they did.
Yeah.
It's like when How I Met Your Mother went 3 minutes too long.
Yeah, it really did. The show was called How I Met Your Mother, I Should Get Together with the Aunt Robin.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The thing that annoyed me the most in this episode,
yeah,
that really kind of pissed me off and capped it all,
yeah,
was the PS at the end of the episode. Featuring Deke's girlfriend and her Instagram story covering the entire thing.
Oh, no, I don't remember seeing that, actually.
Oh, yeah, it was on the PS at the tail end. So it covered, like, from the beginning of the episode where she was, like, interrupting Deke, you know?
Right.
And it was a full-on influencer Instagram story, you know? So she'd, like, take a picture and she'd be like, he's so cute, isn't he cute? You know, with the stickers and the LOLs and everything, yeah, like that, going all the way through the attack until she got rescued by one of the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents and then ended up going and getting drinks with him, and he's sitting there posing with his big arms. She's like, thirst trap, yum, yum. And God, if fucking influencers piss me off.
Yeah, I don't like that.
It really just, it took me right out of it completely. And I know that they were kind of trying to make a joke about it, but at the same time, it's a thing. And it really didn't belong in my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Super great segue for that. Broad City, the last season. Have you watched any of it?
No.
Very first episode is, I'd say the Jewish one, but they're
Abby
both
and
Jewish.
Alana.
Abby, thank you. Abby's 30th birthday party, and the whole thing is seen via, like, Instagram story or Snapchat story or whatever it is. That, so the whole episode, it was clever.
It can actually be done well. Like, look at Searching.
Yes. Yeah. It was actually done really well.
Uh-huh.
But it was hilarious because, like, at the end of the day, when they finally, because their whole point is going from the top to the bottom of Manhattan and blah, blah, blah. When the day's over and they go back, they're just like, I don't really even remember the day. Yeah, it's like because we were filming the whole thing. It didn't feel like we were actually enjoying the day because we were just kind of filming it. And I don't really feel like I experienced anything. Yeah, it was hilarious because, like, they did everything stereotypically all throughout the day that you see, excuse me, on these things. When the like you said, the influencer ones, like the mm-hmm. really over the top ones. Yep. And at the end, they were like, that was terrible. We shouldn't have done that. I don't even remember the day.
I opened up Facebook, which I don't go on, but it's on my computer. And one of the first things that I saw was somebody that I have on my newsfeed had 48 plus pictures of them and their kids going to Fort Knox.
First of all, I didn't put any in Facebook whatsoever.
Yeah, that's why I didn't say it was you.
Oh,
I would have said it was
I went to Fort Knox today. That's why. Okay.
This was from like a day or two ago.
I put four pictures on Instagram.
But I cycled through and yeah. I'm watching and they're like, apparently there are these like steps type things
yes.
there, and they had the girls lined up, you know, the tallest to the shortest, you know, laying down and posing and doing these little and I'm like, did you actually hang out at the fucking fort, or did you just like, okay, now you go over here, you go over here,
okay,
just fucking die, just
I get
enjoy
what
your time.
Well,
48 photos, and that's the ones that they liked.
Right.
I'm sure that there were 1,000 photos, and they were like, oh, we've got to curate these.
We went to Fort Knox today, me and the wife and the three kids.
I'm sure you did pose pictures because I've seen your pictures before.
Well, yeah, I mean, on the cannon out front,
mm-hmm.
and then later, and we brought flashlights because you got to bring flashlights, and it's hilarious because you see all these people.
My phone has a flashlight in it.
Well, I know. Okay, so it doesn't mind, but I want to kill the battery, and making the kids carry flashlights is better than turning your phone flashlight on. Okay. Yeah. So all the kids each have a flashlight, and I had one or whatever, and it was fun because we got to go explore all. They love going to explore all the dark rooms. Well, you can't take pictures of them in there. Because it's too fucking dark.
That's what flashes are for.
Well, but then what's the point of taking a picture?
Because then they look like demon children.
Up the room. Right. Well, okay. So I took one picture of them in this dark in the dark room, and they all were holding their flashlight under their face. It's fun. That's about it. But yeah, no, I took a few pictures, and I posted four on Instagram, but we had a blast.
Good.
Fort Knox is fun. We were there for an hour and a half.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good day.
How long of a drive was that?
It's about 50 minutes from here to Belfast, mm-hmm. and you can basically scream all the way there, 55-ish, unless, of course, you can find a slow car. But then once you hit Belfast, it's like 20, 25 minutes, depending on traffic, though, from Belfast to Prospect, because now you're hitting 25 and 35 zones on that Route 1 section. And today, on the way over, it took us, like, about 15 minutes to get there from Belfast. But on the way back, it was a good 25, almost 30 because of traffic. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. Kate was like, kids were talking about the bridge and talking about the bridge. And so because I'm sick minded, I whispered to Kate, I was like, you want to hear a funny story about the bridge? And she's like, no, I don't think I do. I said, okay. And then we're going across the bridge. She goes like, all right, fine. Tell me. I took a call not too long ago of, hey, there's a car stopped in the middle of the bridge and the driver's side door's open.
You and her probably have a different idea of funny.
We do. We yeah. do. She just goes, oh, that's so, like, did she stop him? No, no, no. She just came across the car with the door open, nobody around.
Killed that mood pretty quick, didn't it?
No, not really. So I watched a few episodes of Broad City.
Okay. Still liking it?
I watched four. Yeah, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. It's like
clever.
I'm not going to be sad when it's gone. It's not like the detour. I'm like, man, I want to see this show again.
New episode's coming soon.
I know. I'm excited about that. It's more along the lines of like, oh, cool. Because like they're funny.
Yes.
And they're very like over the top profane sometimes, which is fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then super unrealistic.
Yes.
It's kind of weird because it's almost like we got two different versions of, like, you know, like we had Abby and Alana on here, and then on You're the Worst, we had...
Are you going to go Rachel and Lindsay, or are you going to go...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gretchen.
Gretchen, and then we have Gretchen and Lindsay over there on You're the Worst.
And Gretchen are all...
It's almost kind of like, who can be the worst of these two groups? Probably Gretchen and Lindsay.
Yeah, I would say Gretchen and Lindsay. Just thinking back to this last season and that scene of Lindsay eating out the ass of her boss.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I don't think Abby or Alana's ever done anything quite that vulgar.
I don't know. The girl that plays Alana definitely shows up in some of the most curious, revealing outfits. I'm going to go with the word curious.
Okay.
Yeah. Ah, hell. So, anyhow, what else did you watch?
I've started watching the show Fleabag on Amazon.
How's that?
It's dark. It's got some good comedy. One of the probably the thing that I like the most about it is that she repeatedly breaks the fourth wall. So she makes comment to the camera.
Yes, I heard about that.
She's written several episodes of Killing Eve. And she writes and produces this show. But, you know, she'll be sitting there talking to one of the people on screen, and then she'll turn to the camera and talk to us. To the point where in the second season, there's only six episodes per season.
Yeah.
In the second season.
I have it written down here to watch.
Okay. In the second season, she's talking to a therapist, and the therapist is like, so you say that you don't have any friends. She's like, I have friends. She's like, but you just said that you're a friendless person. And she's like, I have friends. I have lots of friends. And then she turns to the camera and winks and goes, and she, the woman's like, well, good, you know, do your friends come around often? She's like, oh, they're always hanging out, and like does a little smile and nod to the camera. But I like it. I will say this, it's very dark. It's an Amazon original in association with the BBC.
Yep.
It's very British. She meets a guy in the first episode that she decides to hook up with, and he has the most god-awful teeth, like these giant barn shovel front teeth. Like, you've heard of buck teeth. This guy has horse teeth.
Is it
I've seen him before and stuff.
How many episodes? Or
25.
25, okay.
Yep. But I will say this, like, in all honesty, these are not good people. This is like You're the Worst kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, these are dark people. And I was sitting there messaging a friend of mine, and they were like, oh, what are you watching? We were talking about what we're watching. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm watching. I was on the last episode of the first season.
Yeah.
And right towards the end, I'm like, yeah, I'm just finishing up the first season of Fleabag. It's really good. It's dark. It's, oh, my fucking God. They just took a right turn that I did not see coming. Holy shit. This show just got darker. Like, in the middle of messaging, I'm like, I had to rewind and watch it again. I'm like, are you serious? Like, they take a sharp turn. To the point where you're like, holy fuck, that is fucked up. So I definitely recommend the show. I started the second season, and it's even better because now they've introduced a new character, the priest. But it's played by the guy who played Moriarty in the Sherlock.
Oh.
The BBC Sherlock.
Yeah, I just saw him.
He's phenomenal.
Black Mirror.
Yes. He's phenomenal anyway, but he plays a priest who is very vulgar and very contemporary. So, yeah, check it out.
Okay.
Like I said, 25-minute episodes. Definitely. There's no real nudity, but there's a lot of sex. She actually runs commentary on the anal sex she's about to give a guy. She's like, he's going to like this. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I also watched the first episode of...
She's going to peg a guy.
Yeah. No, no, no. She gets the anal.
Oh.
Yeah. She's doing him the favor. I watched the first episode that they've had so far of AMC's new show, Nosferatu. That's NOS4A2.
How was that?
Didn't do anything for me.
Oh, really?
I know it's based on a book, but this whole first episode was very boring. It was a lot of buildup. We got to see Zachary Quinto as a very, 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 very old man in a very old car steal a kid. In a great way, he left candy cane out on the kid's front step, and when the kid came out to look, he opened up the back door of the car, and there were all these presents in there, and the kid's like, whoa, presents! And as he's driving with the kid, interspersed in the episode, you'll see him driving with the kid, and the kid keeps looking sicker, and Zachary Quinto keeps looking younger. They're going to some place called Christmas Land. I don't know.
I've heard of that type of story before.
It feels like they're that, like, they're going to have to do a lot of building up to reveal to us what the real story is here. I'm not sure I'm actually going to stick with it. So I can't give it a hard sell. But for now, I will watch it because there's really not a lot else on. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. What else did you watch?
I watched the first episode of the now-canceled Swamp Thing.
Now, did you hear why they canceled it?
Yes, because North Carolina fucked them on their tax break. Instead of $41 million, it was $14
million. Yep.
That's a lot of difference.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so basically they said, we built this show around having an $80 million budget because we thought we were getting $41 million back.
Yeah, which is part of the reason why they cut from 13 to 10 episodes.
Yeah. And they said, we can't continue at this pace, so we're just canceling it.
Which sucks.
It wasn't that they thought that it was terrible.
No,
it wasn't. It was unsustainable.
Well, yeah, and then you have, first of all, DC, I don't know what it is, but it's set aside the CW shows.
Mm-hmm.
Between their cinematic universe and their own streaming service, it's like they can't get out of their own way. Because did you see now that AT&T, since they bought Time Warner or whatever it is, they're looking at revamping the DC universe app now, and it might be like $15 a month instead of the $7.99 it is.
And they were going to have like three different tiers of streaming stuff, and now they're like, oh, instead what we'll do is we'll give you HBO and Cinemax and the entire library of Warner stuff for $16 or $17 a month. Like, they literally said $16 or $17 a month.
Right.
They don't even know.
Right.
Yeah, there's some shitty stuff going on over at Warner Brothers.
Yeah, it really is.
DC's getting fucked because of it.
They are. They really are. But, like, you know, Wonder Woman got pushed back again.
Mm-hmm. We at least got a poster.
We got the poster, yes. The Wonder Woman 1984 poster. And she's got the gold suit on.
Yeah.
I want to see the movie really bad. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's taking too long to come out.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And
they don't have a lot of goodwill to be building on here.
No, they don't. And there's, like, why did it get pushed back again?
Because of this merger, I think.
It seems so fucking absurd because you would think they'd want to capitalize on how people... I mean, it's been too long.
Yes, it has. You know, it's been too long since Aquaman was out. And that was the last thing that DC put out.
It's like, the Wonder Woman came out in 2017. 2019 is the right time for the second
film. Yeah. 2 years.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
You know, and I still love the first one. And yes, in the interim, she was in the shit movie first, and then she was in Justice League after. But still, 2019...
Mm-hmm.
You know, not is it late 2020 we're getting the sequel now?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. It's like this came out June 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting the sequel now June 2020. So it'll be 3 years basically to the day.
Which is too long to go between a franchised movie.
Right. It kind of is, yeah. I don't know. It's just this DC Extended Universe is not working out for them.
So, not for nothing, but what did you think of the only episode of Swamp Thing that you'll probably watch?
Just real quick. I mean, Aquaman came out in 2018. Shazam came out in 2019. But they don't tie them in together. You know? So, I don't know. Allegedly, they're showing here Birds of Prey coming in 2020, Wonder Woman 1984, 2020, Batman 2021, Suicide Squad 2021, The Flash 2021, Aquaman 2 2022, and then Black Adam still to be determined. But I just read the other day that that might be sooner than they think because The Rock's probably like, hey, I got an open window. Let's film this shit. So, the first episode of Swamp Thing. All right. So, this being said, I loved the Swamp Thing TV series when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't really hold up per se, but I still enjoyed it. Dick Durock as Swamp Thing I thought was pretty badass and everything. And I've been looking forward to this since they announced the DC streaming service. Like, Swamp Thing was the show I was looking forward to the most. And I got to say, I really enjoyed it. You know, they did a little bit different with Abby Arcane as... Because in the TV series, Dr. Arcane was the villain to Tom Holland, who became Swamp Thing. And in this one, she's like the baby face. She's the hero heroine. And they have other villains, you know, this other agency that's the villain. So that was kind of different. I didn't read the comic books a ton, so I don't know how it differs from the comic books. I was just saying I'm a fan of the movies and the TV series.
I saw the movie, the first movie at the drive-in when I was a kid.
Oh, shit, really? Nice. Well, a couple years
ago. That was back when you could do that with a kid.
Right.
You could watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Swamp Thing as a double feature.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, people wouldn't bat an eye. They'd be like, yeah, good, you're getting kids out of the house.
I watched, last year, the year before, I watched Swamp Thing and then Man Thing. I did a compare and contrast on my blog about it. Swamp Thing was way better.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, that being said, I liked it a lot. I thought it's a dark story of this chemical, this
mutagen.
Yeah, basically this chemical that's mutating certain aspects of the swamp life, if you will, and of course,
that's including four turtles.
Remember that?
Well, it's a mutagen.
Oh no! Not the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Different.
Can't believe I had to drag that out of you. Wow.
Oh, fuck! I was focusing on Swamp Thing.
You're like, really? Turtles? No, I don't.
No, well, I was focusing on Swamp Thing. Anyways, it's a good story so far.
Good.
The end, you know, and then the first episode, like they have two episodes up on there right now. And the end of the first one is when you don't get to see Swamp Thing, but like, you know, by the end of the episode, he's become Swamp Thing. You kind of get to see him, but not real clear. Definitely get to see him in the second episode, so I'm looking forward to it. I mean, there's basically Abby Arcane works for, I guess, the CDC or some sort of government agency that she goes around the country, you know, around the world, that is, fighting these rare diseases. And there's something that's afflicting the people in her former hometown, of course. Of course, she's got some backstory.
Mm-hmm.
And she comes in to try to help. And Holland is the doctor who's also trying to help. And then they end up working together. And shit hits the fan for him.
But have they mentioned anything about the green yet? Like, are they going into that whole aspect? Or have you even met Swamp Thing?
No. Well, that's the thing. Is we literally, like, by the end of the first episode, he has the incident which causes him to be mutated in this whole thing.
Okay.
And the most we've seen of him is he drags himself on land. But there's no clear real camera view of him, and they kind of make it quick. And, you know, I definitely will see him in the second episode. So it was good, though, so far.
Good.
Yeah. What else did you watch there?
Oh, let's see. I've been watching this sketch comedy thing on Netflix called I Think You Should Leave.
Hmm.
It's interesting. It kind of reminds me of The State.
That was a good show.
Yeah. Well, much like The State, it has some good skits and some lame skits.
Yep.
I don't know. I've enjoyed some of it. They've got some good guest stars on there. Steven Yeun from Walking Dead was one of the guys in one of the skits.
Yep.
You know, it's fun. It's something good for the background or just to get a chuckle out of here and there.
Nice. It's kind of like the wife and I, we've been kind of watching, kind of catching up on Deadliest Catch. I haven't watched it in years, mm-hmm. but they got some on Hulu. It's on there. So I've been watching it on there and Chopped as well. Watching some Chopped episodes. I mean, it's a fun kind of mindless show to have on. We like cooking stuff. They gave these people canned haggis, prunes. And I'm just like, no, what? No. Like, that's not a combination to put together.
No.
I think it was like celery and something else. I don't remember.
Jelly beans.
No. Oh, Gouda.
Mm. Which is, I would just eat the Gouda and sit over in the corner and be like, I lose.
Yeah. Make some Gouda. Well, I've lost this round.
The only other TV that I can say that I watched were the two that we'll probably delve into the most, which are Good Omens and Black Mirror.
I have not watched Good Omens.
Seriously?
Yeah.
You said you were going to watch it.
I know. I tried. I didn't.
What do you mean you tried?
Well, I tried to watch it.
Like, was Amazon down?
No, I sat down, I put it on, I watched the first 10 minutes, I fell asleep on the couch.
Hmm.
So I tried to watch it. I just dozed off.
Ouch.
Yeah. So.
Well, I guess I won't be talking about that one then.
Yeah, we really can't talk about that one.
Well, I can.
Please don't. I watched The Hateful Eight. I forgot to talk about this last week. I watched it kind of at work in between stuff. The Hateful Eight extended version they have on Netflix. It's only like 20, 25 minutes longer, and you can kind of see where they added stuff in. And you can see why he cut it out. It's really not necessary. But they break it down into four parts, so it's like a, you know, hour-long mini episodes or whatever. It's still a great flick. I don't care what anyone says. Kanan and I yesterday sat down and watched Scott Pilgrim versus the World because he'd never seen it. The movie still holds up. It's fun. It's a fun, good flick. It's already dude, 9 years ago that came out already. Mm-hmm. So I started looking through like Michael Cera, like what else has he played for in movies? Because he really basically looks like he's like that awkward teenager kid, like he played in Superbad and Nick and Nora and everything else he was in at that time frame.
Arrested Development.
Yeah. And other than doing voice acting, he doesn't do anything else because he probably
Had a few Judd Apatow, like
right,
End of the World and stuff like that.
But not like the leading roles like he had, like in these flicks. Yeah. Juno, that was the one I was trying to think of. So we watched that. That was pretty goddamn awesome. Scott, I watched one episode of a new French show called Black Spot. It's not really new. It came out in 2017, but I saw it on Netflix. And here, let me see if I can read the synopsis for you. It's a French-Belgian TV show. Here's what's hilarious. It's called Black Spot over here, but over there in French, in France, or whatever, it's called White Zone.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Zone Blanche.
So how do they get black out of Blanche?
I don't know. I don't know. But it's called Black Spot here. It's a female cop, and she's the head of the country police. It says in her hometown of Villefranche, a small, isolated, fictional town amidst a 500-acre forest in the mountains. When the body of a dead woman is found hanging from a strange tree, a prosecutor arrives to learn why the town's murder rate is 6 times the national average and its population continues to dwindle. It's kind of like a supernatural horror type police mystery, murder mystery type show. It's in French with English subtitles, of course, for me. Or you can watch it French dubbed, which I actually watched the first half of the episode French dubbed and switched over to French because I wanted to see if it made it like that big of a difference. So far, it really doesn't. Like, you can watch English dubbed because you know some things you can't watch English dubbed because it's too stupid or the acting's really bad. But it fits and it works. Anyways, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the first episode.
Good.
Yeah. So, yeah. I really enjoyed the first episode. So there's 8 more this season. For the rest of this season, and then the second season is supposed to debut later this month in France, so I have no idea when we'll get it here, but I enjoyed the hell out of it. So
nice.
I tell you, I was watching Friday the 13th films at work with a coworker,
mm-hmm.
and we were 20 minutes left with part 3, and it got taken off Amazon.
Yep.
Well, it got taken off Amazon because they put them on Hulu.
Mm.
So I'm assuming the Paramount contract expired with Amazon, and now it's over on Hulu, so we're able to finish it. But I've kind of had this realization going back and watching these movies because, I mean, I've seen them all before more than once, but it was just like, you know, the big, like, quiz thing people be like, you know, who was the murderer in the first Friday the 13th? Oh, it was Jason Voorhees. Nope, it was Mom. That's the big one that everyone seems to remember. I was picking up on things that people probably don't really remember. In the second movie, Jason is the killer. And he wears a sack over his head.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hockey mask.
Only one eye.
With one eye cut out. Yeah, there's no hockey mask. And he's human.
Mm-hmm.
In part 3, he's still human. He finally gets the hockey mask third of the way through part 3. But, like, he doesn't slow stalk people. He runs after them. When he gets stabbed, he cries out in pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, he's still human. So I think
human-ish.
Well, yes, but still, he's not.
He was the boy who drowned, you know.
Allegedly drowned.
Right.
But he's depicted as being human. It's not so, but like everyone thinks of Jason Voorhees, they think of supernatural, mm-hmm. monster killer, hockey mask, machete, can't be stopped, yada, yada, yada. Well, he didn't even get the hockey mask till part 3.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't become supernatural until like part 4.
Mm. Which is why a lot of people like part 4 as one of the better ones.
Right. So it's kind of funny, you know, in this movie series. And in part 5, he's not even in it. As a guy pretending to be Jason under a mask.
Groundskeeper Willie.
Yeah, you know, he follows me on Facebook, by the way.
Groundskeeper Willie does?
No, the actor that played Jason
oh.
in part 5.
Thanks.
not Facebook, Twitter. Sorry, follows me on Twitter. Because we were talking about the movies, and I made mention, like, well, Jason's not even the fifth one. How can that be your favorite? And then he chimed in. Well, I made you think I was Jason, didn't I? And then we had a debate about it for a while. Not a debate, but I could, there's a bunch of us that could talk about it.
Yeah.
And then he gave me a follow. So right. I'm like, that's really cool, actually. Part 6 is my favorite.
Yeah. That's another one that usually ranks in the top.
Yeah, Part 6 is my favorite. Yeah, it's real. Because we got the last 20 minutes of Part 3 cut off before we could watch it, once we started watching it again, there's a really cheesy part where he crushes some guy's head and his eyeball pops out at the screen. Forgotten about that until he watched it again.
Because it's in 3D.
God, the 3D is so horribly cheesy bad in that.
Mm-hmm. But it was high tech back then.
Oh, it was fantastic.
We had to go down to the grocery store to get your 3D glasses.
Oh, my God, that's right, yeah. All I got to talk about, besides some little news and stuff, is Black Mirror.
Well, I did watch a couple of movies.
What'd you watch?
I watched the Netflix original movie, Always Be My Maybe.
Kate watched that, and she said it was hilarious, and she loved it.
I thought it was awesome.
Oh, I thought you were going to say awful.
Oh, no, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I plan on checking it out.
Ali Wong is spectacular.
Yeah.
She's a great comedian anyway. She's very realistic.
Yeah.
Blanking on his name here, but it was really well done because it was an all Asian kind of thing with Asian traditions. You know, that's
but it wasn't the one with Awkwafina then, right?
No, I watched that one as well, Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, okay,
yeah. But this one, it took the normal like rom com and it kept with a lot of the same themes, but they put their own spin on it. So yep. Actually, Randall Park, that's his name.
Okay,
And they actually did a really good job with it. I enjoyed it. I really found the characters believable. Neither one of them was the best version of who they could have been, and neither one of them was the worst. You know, when they disagreed, or, you know, you never found yourself like, boy, he's an asshole. She deserves better. It was never like that. They both had their flaws, and they both were fucked up in their own way. But, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I like a good rom-com, you know.
As do I.
I watched Crazy Rich Asians, as I mentioned. It was not a theme. I just happened to have it on my DVR, and I'm cleaning out my DVR. It was not bad. Again, another romantic movie. The comedy was okay. I really liked some of the characters, like Mateo's in there.
Oh, nice.
And he helps Awkwafina do a montage of, you know, Pretty Woman type of thing to the main girl character.
Yeah.
And it's funny. You know, he's a comic delight. Ken Jeong is in there. He's awesome. You know, at first he's like playing the Asian thing up real hard, and then, you know, he actually makes fun of his daughter Awkwafina, and he's like, oh, so you went to America and, you know, you became a professor, and then she went to America and she became the Asian Ellen. Like, short blonde hair. So yeah, it's a good movie. I don't care if I see it again. I'm glad.
Always Do My Maybe is definitely better.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I definitely liked it a lot better. This one though was big into the Asian heritage. Like, everything was about, like, his grandmother. You know, everybody in the community treated her with more respect than anybody else because she was the oldest living member of the family. You know, it was very much tied to those familial values. And if grandma liked you, you were in. It didn't matter what anybody else thought. But if grandma didn't like you, forget it.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. The family cut you off. So in that respect, it was really cool. But yeah, it was not bad.
Nice.
I watched The Equalizer 2.
Oh, I liked that.
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
I liked it.
Some of the killing was good. The plot seemed very predictable.
Oh, yeah, it was. You but know, it was what oh, I wanted. Look,
that guy turned out to be the bad guy, and he really, you know, turned on her. Big shocker. Yeah. But I enjoyed the action and the killing and stuff.
Yeah.
He did a good job of that. And the last thing that I watched was an HBO original documentary type.
Yeah.
Called The Inventor, Out for Blood in Silicon Valley.
What was that?
It was very interesting. It was the story of Elizabeth Holmes.
Okay.
Who started a company.
I saw that on there.
Yeah. Basically, she, like, the documentary starts off very positive because she came up with an idea and she wanted to revolutionize the way that blood tests work. So instead of, like, them having to draw out a whole vial of blood, or 2 vials or 3 vials. You know that. You've gone to the hospital.
Yeah, I have, but she falsified all her
tests. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, bad. Like, she was just going to do it with a pinprick. And to the point where, like, they had Walgreens buy into it.
Yeah.
They had set up kiosks there. And, I mean, this was bad. This was like the Fyre Festival kind of bad. You know, it was all false. It was all fake. It was all lies. And she had no remorse whatsoever. She was a crazy person. And she had a really weird voice. I don't like her voice at all. If you ever watch it, understand that all the footage that you see of her is not an actress. That is actually her.
Yep.
And her voice is really, really weird. It's got a weird timbre to it, and I didn't like it at all. Plus, everybody says that she doesn't blink. I've seen her blink on there a couple of times, but they're right. Like, most of the shots of her are just bug-eyed.
Yeah, I remember reading an article about it. It might have been in Maxim or Rolling Stone or one of those magazines that does actually surprisingly good in-depth articles about her. And, yeah, like, she created this whole or invented this whole new testing technology and data, and it was all a fraud. It was all a scam. It was worse than, like it was like a Bernie Madoff type move, you know? It was worse than a
And they'd psych up all their employees, and they'd be like, you're in on the ground floor, blah, blah, and everybody loved it. They called it the Edison. Because she said that they were probably going to have to fail 10,000 times before they got it right. You know, she told everybody that this was going to be an uphill battle and then completely faked the whole thing.
Yeah. Piece of shit, really.
Yeah. It was an interesting documentary, though.
Oh, I forgot this. The wife and I finished watching Chernobyl.
Mm.
I watched the final episode this past – well, we watched it this week, earlier this week.
And, I said that became the highest rated show in recent history.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I really think what helped it a lot for both of us is the companion podcast that they had that went along with it.
You mentioned that a couple
and times. And it just, a lot of times when you watch like a historical piece or a fictional piece or, you know, based on actual events or whatever, you watch it and you wonder like, oh, okay, did this really happen? Did they really say that? Is this an actual person? Or if it's not an actual person, then who is it? Or, you know, you wonder all these things. And it's amazing, really, how much reality and realism that the director, creator, slash writers put into this. Like, when certain actors say certain things on the show, that's what they really said in real life. Like, there was so much they put in this that was as close to accurate as humanly possible. Like, but there's like this one thing is like there's a woman character in it, and she is a compilation of about 20 people in real life, of these 20 scientists, because he couldn't feasibly feature them all.
Right.
So she is like a compilation of all of them. And that makes sense. You know, when he explains it that way. But like these other characters that we see on there, it's like, oh, like there's this one woman who's she's like the first character we see. We're in her apartment, and then you see Chernobyl exploding in the background. But you don't know what it is. You just see it like kind of like a small explosion, this light shoot up, and it turns out it's Chernobyl. And we see her throughout the whole series. Like, her husband's a firefighter. She goes and you know, goes and sees him at the hospital. She does what she's supposed to do. She gets pregnant. She has the baby. She loses the baby. I mean, like, you see her through the whole episode, and you wonder, oh, is that a composite of different people and what's happened? No, that was an actual person and their actual story of what they went through, you know?
Mm.
Russia has always maintained, or the Soviet Union, or now Russia, whatever, that there was only 31 deaths attributed to Chernobyl. But the actual estimate is at least 4,000 or greater people have died since the Chernobyl incident, because of the fallout from it and everything else involved with it and people getting sick. And there's been something like 60,000 people that have died under the age of 40 since that, from cancer and stuff. Like, there's all these different things and all these different factors. And I don't know, the historical accuracy of what he did and where he got his, it was really, really good. And then the way they had Stellan Skarsgård there, no, not him. The way they had – I can't think of the actor's name now, but he – regardless. The way he had him describe to us, and this is not how it was done in real life, why it blew and what happened was amazing. Like, yeah. I mean, they did a really good job of explaining what exactly happened. But, like, they followed the actual timeline in the report of what happened step by step by step. I mean, it was really, really good. We both really liked it a lot. I can't recommend it enough, honestly.
Did you hear about Russia?
What about it?
Apparently Russia is very pissed about this.
Well, I'm sure they are.
They're going to actually produce their own version of Chernobyl, which is going to show their side of it, which is that they believe that the whole thing was caused by CIA. One operative interfering with things, and that's the reason that the reactor went nuclear.
Huh. Well, the writer-director of this series used Russia's reports to write it.
Yeah.
Their own reports that they wrote, mm-hmm. people's books that were there, that lived it.
Oh, yeah.
All the books they wrote about it, they went and toured Chernobyl mm-hmm. in the hospital, in the grounds, and saw, I mean, like...
And I don't think that they're going to dispute a lot of it. What they're going to dispute is that the whole reason that the thing happened was because of CIA interference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
but that's going to come out in Russia.
Yeah, so. It's just more propaganda, really. Mm. Oh, come on. That's absurd. Whatever.
Yeah, all I've got other than that is Black Mirror and then some trailers and news.
All right, Black Mirror then. Did you watch all three episodes?
I did.
Okay. What'd you think?
If I just had to, like, go basic, I was very disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Yeah.
It
was terrible.
No, it just didn't hold up to what we've seen before in Black Mirror.
It didn't feel like Black Mirror.
It really didn't.
Like, okay, so we had three different episodes. So let's start right at the beginning with Striking Vipers.
Well, typically Black Mirror takes place in an undetermined time,
mm-hmm.
but it's the future. Or right. future technologies.
Right.
And then season four, I think the reason why... Would you cut yourself?
No, I had a cuticle.
Oh.
I ripped it out.
Okay. I think season four works so well because they kind of bookended it.
Yeah.
The seasons with the stories right. and the actors and the characters.
And you had that museum at the very end.
Yes, the Black Museum at the end that kind of summed up the other stories we'd seen. Mm-hmm. I mean, like...
This one felt like a cash-in, honestly.
Yeah,
like,
it really did.
Too many stars...
Yeah.
And not enough substance. Like,
yeah,
this whole.
That's the other thing. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, they had this whole, like, we're going to have only three episodes, but they're going to be longer, and look at the stars that we've got. I don't fucking care about the stars.
Either
do
I.
Tell me a good story.
Yeah. And all these stars, if you will, like, they never had stars in episodes before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they never had stars in episodes before. They just had people, and it worked. And
this
it was
is what
good.
Happens when you take something that's British,
yeah,
and you take the Americans, and they go, "Well, it's the same thing that happened with Broadchurch. Broadchurch was phenomenal in England, and we all loved it on the BBC. And then the Americans said, "Let's do our own version," and it got canceled after one episode.
Yeah, but in all fairness,
don't you try to defend the American version of Broadchurch.
Oh, God, no. In all fairness, season four of Black Mirror was an Americanized version.
Uh-huh.
And as was season three, technically, and those were both really good.
Yep.
But this
still
one...
had their British influences, though. They right. still had mostly British actors.
Correct.
They still had British writers. And this season feels like the first time that the Americans said, "We've got this."
Well, Bandersnatch was excellent, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the guy that wrote Bandersnatch also wrote Striking Vipers and Smithereens and Rachel, Jack, and Ashley, too.
Yeah.
So the guy that wrote Bandersnatch wrote all three of these episodes.
Yeah.
In fact, he wrote every episode in season four as well and season three.
And at its core.
And season two.
Bandersnatch was a 25-minute episode.
Holy fuck. He's written every episode mm-hmm. of this series.
Yep. Or he's got some writing credits.
Yeah, well, he's...
He may not have been the primary...
Right, but he's got the credit for writing every episode of this series. So, damn.
Yeah.
So, Striking Vipers, Anthony Mackie's in it.
And
Mantis is in it.
Yes. And, again, this episode, I'm going to say this about all of them.
Yeah.
But especially all of them. This episode was too long.
It was.
There was too much
yeah.
shit in the middle that should not have been.
Well, the big opening was crap.
Yeah.
The whole opening montage of 11, like two, like Anthony Mackie and his wife or girlfriend or whoever, they meet at a bar and then his friend's there and they all hang out. And then his friend goes back to his place and bangs his woman and Anthony Mackie go bangs her. And then 11 years later.
Yeah.
We could have cut that first 15 minutes out completely.
Easily. Because what did we care?
That was needed. You literally could have opened up with the birthday party cookout.
Yeah. Because everybody knows that when you reach that point in your life
yeah.
and that point in your relationship It's all
right.
Envy. You're always looking back and going, boy, I remember when I was young. I remember when I was fucking all the time. I remember when I could have a different woman every night.
Right.
You know, everybody knows that that is the cliche. You're right. Sitting there grilling out. You got your friends and neighbors there. And you're like, oh, my life is so fucking boring. I just want to shoot myself.
And, I mean, I guess the concept of the episode isn't bad. It just wasn't executed well. Because basically this guy buys his friend a video game they used to play together.
But it's like the 10th iteration.
Right, Striking Fighters 10. And this one has a virtual reality version where you put this chip on your head, and it kind of apparently it makes your eyes glaze over.
Yeah, and go gray.
Yeah, gray over. And now you're in this virtual reality world, but we're seeing an actors, you know, and
one of which was Mantis from Guardians of the Galaxy.
And they're supposed to fight. And so,
but you feel everything. That's supposed to be the realism.
Yeah. You feel it more than you would. Yeah. You feel it, period.
Yeah.
But not really, because you're not bleeding. You're not getting your bones broken.
Oh, he bled at one point, but then the blood just disappeared.
No, in real life though, you're
right,
not.
Right.
So anyways, so they actually fight the first round, and in the second round, they're tussling, rolling around on the ground, and then they kiss.
Which, by the way, there would be nothing programmed. Like, they would have to specifically program that into the game.
Correct. Well, it's a virtual reality game, though.
That's what I'm saying, is that even virtual reality games now, trust me, anybody who's played a virtual reality game has tried to fuck things. Like, they'll see somebody in there, and they'll be like, how can I fuck that? And it just doesn't work. That has to actually be programmed in, because this is not a holodeck.
Right.
This is a fighting game. Like, this is a specific game where you fight each other. So that's why when you log into that avatar, you know all the fighting moves. You know, oh,
fair
you
enough.
Can kick and you can punch and you can jump and stuff like that. They would have had to program in the fucking.
Well, that's basically what these two do.
Yeah.
They have an awkward moment, and then a couple days later, whatever it is, they go back in, and this time they just go straight to fucking.
Yes.
Where
they don't even bother fighting.
No, where Anthony Mackie's they're both Asian in this virtual reality. Anthony Mackie's a guy, his buddy's a girl, and they have this affair in the virtual world where they just meet up and have sex.
Which is, again, everything about this episode is too long. Right. It is dragged out.
It
is dragged on. And they try to undercut it with a lot of different things, like you know, they talk about, oh, well, you're always the girl character. You know, how's that different? He goes, oh, man. He's trying to say that he knows what a female orgasm feels like
right.
because he's jacked into this woman's body. Again, the programmer would have had to put that in there. They would have had to say, okay, this is what it's going to feel like when her clitoris is stimulated.
Right.
How are they marketing that game to kids in that case?
Right.
Yeah, it wouldn't happen. This would not be a thing that would exist in this world. The ESRB would be all over it. Anyway,
but their in-game relationship is affecting their relationships in real life.
Yeah, well, Anthony Mackie's. Well, yeah, actually.
No, the other guy, too. Yeah, he couldn't finish off with the girl he was with.
Yeah, because all they do is think about each other.
Right.
And the sex that they're having in there.
Right. And so then they finally meet in real life, and Anthony Mackie's theory is, we need to kiss and see if there's a spark.
Well, no. Hold on. They don't quite get there yet, because first he calls it off. He's like, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this. And then his buddy comes and, you know, after getting the cold shoulder for so long, he comes to him and gives him this whole speech about how he's tried it with other players. He tried fucking the polar bear. He's tried everything, and nothing feels as good as it is with him.
Right.
And so then they decide, well, let's see if this is what it is.
Well, no, because they're in the game world and they fuck, and then she says, or whatever, I love you.
Yeah.
And then
he's like, meet me.
Yeah.
In this, it's always raining. Whatever we have.
So they go and they kiss and they don't feel anything. It's like, see, okay, so we're not together. We're not gay. We're not relationship.
Well, that was a big thing. They're like, so it's not a gay thing.
Right.
It's like,
and so his buddy says, well, at least we can still do it in the game, because the game is so different. I mean, Anthony Mackie's like, no, man, we can't do it in the game. And then they commence the fighting.
In real life.
And then they get arrested.
Because, you know, cop just happened to be right there.
Right. And then Anthony Mackie's wife rolls up and bails him out. And then the next thing we know, apparently he must have told her what happened.
Well, yeah, because she's talk to me, and they cut away.
We get it. And the future, it's the future now. And it says birthday again. And she had been pregnant. Now she had a kid. And now it's the future. And it's his birthday, and everyone leaves, and his friend doesn't show up. And she gives him a little box, and he gives her a box. And basically, it's he gets to go play the game and fuck his friend in the game, and his wife can go fuck people in real life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of the episode.
Yeah. But it's not gay. They want to make sure that we all know that. It's not gay.
So,
because that's important.
Again, the
we got to label it.
They could have cut this in half, and it would have been way better.
They could have cut this in half and made it had sense.
Yeah.
Like, they could have explored their relationship a bit more and said that the reason was because they were so connected to each other. You know, that they had this friendship, that they trusted each other, that they loved each other on that level, that they could do something like this. And, you know, it even goes so far as to go back to when they played this game the first time, you know, that they just had this bro-type relationship that was not, we're physically attracted to each other in real life. We just love each other, and so we can do this, and it feels right. Now, instead, they had to turn it into a campaign for polyamory.
I guess. Now let's go to episode 2, Smithereens. Again, this episode,
way too long.
I didn't hate the episode. Actually, of the three, maybe I like this one the most. I don't know. Probably not. I don't know.
I've had a hard time finding one that I liked the most.
It was way too long.
Yeah.
It was stupidly too long. And this was not a Black Mirror episode either. Because Black Mirror, yes, it's always been like Twilight Zone or it's anthology, da-da-da, with technology. But this wasn't about technology.
It kind of was.
Well, no. I don't think it was at all.
It totally was.
No, okay. I don't think this was about technology in the historical relevance of how they use technology on the series.
Oh, it totally was. I think so.
How?
Because the whole...
It was a fucking Facebook app. That was it.
That's the whole point of it, though, was he was trying to make the point that he killed his wife. He feels like he killed his wife because he was addicted to that app. You know, he was constantly looking at his phone. Every time he had an opportunity, he was looking at it, including that night. He was bored. She was asleep. And he was like, oh, I've got a notification. Oh, I've got a like. And he looked at it. And
But Black Mirror's technology has always been advanced technology that we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's always been futuristic. It's always been integrated somehow in a unique way that we don't experience now. And in that retrospect, this isn't.
I would have to argue with that one, Hang the DJ. Because in Hang the DJ, we got to see all the relationships play out. But in the end, when we pulled back, it was a dating app. It was a common dating app that we would all be using in today's society. That was just the math that was going on underneath that represented what those people were doing and whether or not they hooked up or not. But when we pulled back and we met the real people in real life, it was a really good episode, though.
And it didn't feel like the... I don't know. I
get what you're saying.
To me, the technology in this episode was lacking compared to others.
Yep. Because it was using basic existing technology.
I felt like this was more of a...
cautionary tale?
Standing on your soapbox about why we shouldn't be using social media.
Absolutely. Because even... we'll get to that. We'll get to the ending of it. But
the long and the short of it's this. Andrew Scott's in it.
And he's awesome.
He's awesome.
He was great as Moriarty. Right. He's great in Fleabag.
And basically what it is what we find out at the end is him and his fiance 18 months ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was, driving down the road. He got a notification on his phone. He looked down at it, and he hit a vehicle head on. And his wife got killed, and the driver of the other vehicle got killed. But the driver of the other vehicle was drunk, so they blamed him.
Yep. And he feels guilty because he feels that if he hadn't looked down,
yep,
he might not have caused that accident.
And he feels guilty about it.
Yep.
And the one thing he wants to do before he kills himself, because that's his plan, is to talk to the owner, the creator, Billy Bauer, the guy that created the app.
Smithereen. Definitely not Mark Zuckerberg.
No, not at all.
No.
So that's the whole point of this. What he wants to do is talk to the guy that created this so he can tell him, your app has made people so addicted to it that I looked down and I killed my wife because of it.
But the episode is too fucking long because basically what he does is he works as like a Lyft driver, basically.
Yep.
And he sits outside of the Smithereen building every day.
Yep.
And waits for somebody to come out that looks like they're important enough and then offers them a ride. And because his plan is you get somebody that's important enough and then you hold them hostage. And and then they're important enough that he'll have to be connected to Billy.
Right.
And he just wants to talk to Billy.
Yep.
And he just wants Billy to listen to him.
Yep.
And it's dragged out so goddamn long.
It's 70 minutes.
They have a standoff.
It could have been 30.
They have a standoff in a field. He's in a little tiny car. The police could walk right up. I know he has a gun on the hostage, But they've got a marksman out there. They have two police cars, because for some reason they didn't need more.
They had a bunch, but they only had two in the field.
Yes. And he shit his it's car just, shit the bed, so he's not going
right,
anywhere.
Right. It's just dragged out. And the kid he ends up picking up is an intern, not anyone important.
And it is kind of funny when he like gives him shit for dressing so nice. Why are you dressed so nice if you're an intern?
Yeah.
Because it bothers him, because right. he thought that the guy was a high-ranking executive.
And there's an opening bit that we see where he's at this meeting for people who have had friends that have committed suicide or family that's committed suicide. And he ends up having sex with this woman whose daughter killed herself 18 months ago. And every day she uses her three options to try and log into her daughter's persona account.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't get in because she just wants to see her account, I guess. Yeah. See if there's anything there.
Yep.
And that plays in at the end when Billy Bauer's like, is there anything I can do for you at all? And he's just like, oh, do you know the guy that owned that created Persona? He's like, yeah, I know Chuck. And then it cuts to that woman getting a phone call. And then we go back to the car now. I mean, it's just...
It's long and it's drawn out. And they have this whole, again, completely ridiculous part where, like, they disturb Billy on his silent retreat.
He's on a 10-day
silent retreats because the stress of everything gets to him so much. But he's a fucking hipster. So they disturb
him. Grace was good.
Oh, he was great. He was very good. But again, why do we need stars? So they disturb him, and at first he's just like, what the fuck do you want me for? You know, why am I being bothered, blah, blah, blah. But then he says that he wants to talk to this guy, and the police are like, no, I don't think you should do that. No, we can't let you do that.
And then basically like, oh, fuck you, FBI guy, I'll do what I want.
Yeah, and I really don't think they would have the authority to stop him from calling that guy.
They wouldn't.
No.
So the FBI would have nothing to do with it. He was just a liaison.
Yeah, because the FBI wanted to get involved in this because, you know, reasons.
Well, no, the fucking Smithereens people called the FBI so then they could get in contact the police over in England where this was happening.
And didn't they have some, I don't know, I got so sick of this episode.
Yeah.
Because then at the end, we're treated to this whole thing where, you know, Billy wants to kill himself, and now the guy in the back seat is like, don't kill yourself, man, you know, live. And
they struggle with a gun.
And then the marksman thinks that they're struggling, and he's trying to shoot the guy. Right. So a gunshot rings out, and the screen goes black, and the credits start rolling.
Oh, no. They shoot and miss, and then they shoot again, and right. then the screen goes black. So, yeah. It's like they shot him three times, nicked him once, missed him once, and then we don't know what happened at the end.
This is an air quotes marksman.
Yeah.
But then we are treated to these scenes of people, like, getting notifications on their phone and, like, looking down at it and then putting it away. And I had to read an article on this because I'm like, did I miss something? Apparently, everybody who was watching it the night that it aired went to Twitter because they wanted to see if, you know, there was something that Black Mirror was going to say, you know, like, put out a tweet about this. No, it turns out that it was an artistic thing because they basically said that, you know, this was the worst day of his life and this was a catastrophic day for Billy and his company. For everybody else, it was just a, and then go about their daily business, you know, go about their life. So they were trying to make a statement there that, you know, even on your worst day, Mike,
the
day that you're in the hospital and laid up, everybody else just goes, whatever, and puts away their
phone. I think they did a better job in the past trying to show us how social media and everything rules our life. The episode in particular I'm thinking about is the one with Bryce Dallas Howard. Is that her name? Ron Howard's daughter. She's got, but everyone has it implanted in their eye, and they have their phone, and they rate everybody for every social interaction. I can't think
of the name of that, but yeah.
Yes, that episode there, that's the one to me.
Up and down, and if you went down too far, you were fucking dead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, even like, because of your status of having less than 4 stars, we can't rent you the nice car. You can only rent this level of car.
Exactly.
I mean, like, to me, that's more of a social commentary on where social media is.
Oh, my God, yeah, that was creepy as shit.
Yeah.
Because that felt realistic. This felt like... Again, like you said, somebody standing on a soapbox.
Yeah. And then we get the last episode, Rachel, Jack, and Ashley 2. Now, this is an episode where I felt they used technology that doesn't exist or technology advancements that are Black Mirror-ish. But basically...
But they had teenage girls who figured it out. And that's nothing against teenagers or girls. That is saying that this was a Scooby-Doo kind of thing. You know? Nobody else in the entire world ever hooked up their Ashley Tudol to a computer and went, hey, what's that little red thing right there? Oh, I'm sorry. They had the magical computer that their dad uses to mind control mice.
Exactly. They have their dad's brain computer. That's how they're able to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, they mapped it to a robot, a little toy.
So basically, Miley Cyrus plays Ashley O, and she's a pop princess and hates her life. And
she's Hannah Montana.
Yeah.
You know, because she's like happy-go-lucky, and she sends all the positive messages. Yeah. You can do everything, and unicorns fart rainbows. And
then in her private life, her aunt, who's also a manager, who raised her because her parents died, I guess secretly resents her, blah, blah, blah. Ashley doesn't want to be a pop princess anymore. Her aunt's like, fuck you, I'm going to drug you up and keep you under my thumb, Britney Spears style, allegedly. However, apparently Ashley's music comes from her dreams.
Yeah, she dreams her music.
Right. And she gets up and writes them down, and that's where her songs come from. So they put her in a coma when they find out that she's going to...
She's been pocketing her pills.
Yes.
She's been spitting them out, and...
Because they're evidence that they violated, that they breached her contract because they've been drugging her up and blah, blah, blah. And so she's trying to get out of this contract that's supposed to expire when she turns 25. So she can be free and do what she wants to do. So her
and then her aunt cuts the worst Bond villain promo I have ever seen, where she like holds out the little box that all the pills were stashed in. She's like, "I found out that you've been taking these," and blah. And she's like, "Aunt, I you violated the contract," blah, blah. And her aunt's like, she opens it up and shows that it's empty, and she's like, "Sit down. You're going to sit down." And Ashley sits down, and she goes, "Yes, I ground up all the pills into your food. I researched it, and I discovered that if you tried to overdose on these, you wouldn't actually die."
No. The evil doctor that works for her does this. Because apparently Ashley Owl's whole team, her aunt, who's the manager, her doctor, her security guard, they're all evil villains and henchmen working together against her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they discovered that, you know, she wouldn't die. She would just go into a chemical coma.
Right.
But they could still read her brain, so...
That she would be in forever.
Yes. Yeah, it was totally... It was like Dr. Evil.
And then they put, like, a scan on her brain, and they could, like, pull her dream thoughts out, which apparently they're able to pull notes from songs and lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah, the guy's, songs. Like, looking at, like, a little green blip, and he's like, that's an F sharp.
Oh, there's a G. And, oh, apparently we have lyrics. And when it sounds like death metal, they can just auto-tune it to pop song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
in the meantime, the Ashley brand had released these little robots that are like part Alexa, part Tamagotchi, called Ashley 2. And girls could, or boys, or whoever, you know, was a fan, could have one of these, and it would talk to them and cheer them on and be like, oh, you're great, you're doing awesome.
And it was AI, they'd be like, hey, wake up, Ashley. And be like, hey, Ashley 2.
Yeah. And you follow Jack and... What's her name? The two daughters who, you know, one of them's the real grungy girl who's got the nose ring, so you know she's a badass.
Mm-hmm.
And then her sister just wants to be liked by everybody at school. So
Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel, like, learns these dance moves from her little Ashley Two doll and, you know, does this really sexy, provocative dance in front of the entire school for the talent show.
And her mom died.
Yeah.
Her mom died.
And dad... who has played nothing but, like, hillbilly yokels, is now a guy who has mice that he scans their brains and tries to mind control them.
He's trying to build a better mousetrap. A mousetrap that is a mouse hunter that has a taser on it, and it goes around and finds the mice and then tases them.
Because he really hates the ones that they have at businesses where they're like a decon trap.
Yeah.
Because he tells them repeatedly. He'll be like, do you know how long it takes mice to die with these? They leave this trap and then it takes them days to actually die and they're in misery the whole time. Because he wants to be humane.
Right.
But yeah, we kind of got a little throwaway line, which really bothered me. Because the whole premise was, you know, they've got these Ashley dolls and blah, blah, blah. And then Ashley goes into her coma. And then, like, amidst the news stories about that, we get this little, oh, and the Ashley 2 dolls were all recalled because of battery problems and bursting into flames. Like, suddenly they're just explaining. This would be like if Child's Play, the one that's coming out soon, like, if that one buddy doll, they got rid of all the other ones in the world just because they had faulty batteries. Yeah. You know, so, oh, this is the only one that's going to be evil. The threat of the Chucky doll is that this could be any of them.
Right.
You know? And this was just like, oh, all the Ashley dolls were destroyed except for yours. So continue with your story.
Yeah. And basically, the Ashley doll wakes up because the TV report says, when's Ashley going to wake up? And so,
yeah.
And the doll, the AI wakes up and then watches the news report how she's in a coma and a shelf for challenge, and on and on and on. And the doll starts to freak out like it's having a seizure. And so they hook it into their dad's computer, and then they
find a red spot in there.
And they click on it, and all of a sudden the whole brain opens up. Because
all it took was a mouse click.
Yep. And now the Ashley 2 doll is actually Ashley, because what they did was is they scanned her whole brain and put it in there, but they put parameters on it or restrictor plate on it, so it only allowed
the restraining bolt.
Yeah. It only allowed this small section. 4%. Yeah, the small section of her brain that, like, does PR stuff would function.
So now you've got this little android, which was the most entertaining part of the episode, marching around on their desktops, flailing her arms, and cussing up a storm, Miley Cyrus style.
Yeah.
This was not Hannah Montana. This was the Miley Cyrus version.
Yeah.
Ah, you fucking guys. I mean, she was a delight.
She doesn't talk that way. Yeah, I fucking do.
Yeah, she was an absolute delight. So she basically tells them that she logged all the evidence against her aunt in her computer at home. So if they can sneak her into the house, she can get to the computer and get all the evidence. And they agree to this, and they come up with the stupidest plan because, you know, they've got dad's exterminator van.
Which is souped up to look like a rat. So it's got, like, ears on it and a furry steering wheel, all kinds of shit.
And the older sister dresses up like dad and says, oh, I'm here to do an extermination. The guy's like, no, you're not. Get out.
And he's like, oh, the lady of the house called. We don't have an appointment for 3 weeks. He's like, oh, damn it. Come in.
Yeah.
Doesn't check with the lady of the house.
Oh, and then she says, oh, would it be okay if my little sister came along?
Hey! Yeah. Like, first of all, if you had a comatose pop princess on the second floor that was being held against her will, you're not letting anyone in the house.
Anyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much less two troublesome kids. Would have gotten away with it if it weren't for those meddling teens.
So they go in the house, of course, and the sister has to go use the bathroom, Rachel. And then they go upstairs, and she lets Ashley 2 loose, and Ashley 2 pulls the plug on her.
Yeah.
And they're like,
because she's like, I wouldn't want to be that way.
Yeah. You were never going to get data. You just wanted to do this. Yeah, because I know me, and I wouldn't want to live that way. But I'm still alive. Yeah.
But then.
Oh, because they pulled the plug, she's not getting pumped full of drugs anymore, so she woke up.
Yep.
And then, of course, they rescue her, and then there's...
Because, you know, they overpower the giant men who have been holding her prisoner.
They electrocute him with dad's better mousetrap.
Yeah. And then one of them tries to inject Ashley, and they stab him with the chemicals. Yeah.
And the doctor, and he goes out. And they manage to free her from the automatic restraints on the bed. And they get in the...
Because they found a button underneath.
Thanks Ashley too found the button.
She's like, hey, assholes, there's a button under here that will release her. How do you know that? It's a button.
Right. So they get away, and the police eventually start chasing them. But they drive right to the stadium where the aunt's doing a presentation.
I'm sorry, Mike. Right to the stadium or right into the fucking stadium?
Right into the stadium. Like, right
like almost
into
take out a row of people who are sitting there.
Yep. Where the aunt's doing a presentation, luckily not to a packed house, of the new holographic version of Ashley O, Ashley External, where they can have someone out back in like one of those, you know,
mocap suits,
pretend to be her, and then...
Oh, and she's scalable.
Yeah.
You can make her giant if you want. And then we just get the most unsatisfying ending because they basically show up and...
They pull in, and the girls get out of the vehicle because the police are like, get out of the vehicle, and they get out, and then the police don't arrest them or anything.
No, they just stand there. And then Ashley steps out of the vehicle, and her aunt's like, oh, fuck. And then the episode's over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They flip her off.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Then there's the credit scenes, which they're at the nightclub, and there's Ashley O with Jack playing bass, and she's singing her new harder music.
Head Like a Hole.
Yeah.
By Trent Reznor.
Yeah. And
9 Inch Nails.
I'm familiar.
Yeah.
And
good stuff.
And then there's
not so much for Miley Cyrus.
And there's Rachel there at the bar watching. And then there's Ashley 2 there with her. And Ashley 2's got an Anarchy sticker on her. And then, like, they colored her hair, just one strip of hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, too long.
Way too long.
And nonsensical.
Completely nonsensical. Another one of these where, what was the technology supposed to be? Was it the Ashley Two doll? Was it the mouse brain thing?
Was it the AI?
Yeah.
I mean, the holographic image? Was it how they put something on her head to pull out music?
And you know what all three of these had in common?
What?
None of the technology in any of them was anything remarkable compared to what we've got now.
Right.
I mean, yeah, Striking Viper is the AI, the
right
virtual reality tech was more advanced than what we've got. But again, as a gamer, I can poke a lot of huge holes in that because there's no way that any game company would program that stuff in there.
Correct.
The Ashley 2 doll, like I said, it's Alexa meets Tamagotchi. They scanned in my whole brain. Well, shut up. Just shut up. Idiots. And, Smithereen was literally Facebook.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they didn't blow us away with any kind of future tech. It was all current tech, for the most part.
And I
was disappointed.
It was a disappointing season.
I came to the end of it, and I'm like, each episode, I was like, wow, that wasn't that great. Yeah. And I thought maybe I was being too critical, but...
No, it just wasn't.
Yeah.
So, news?
News and trailers. Did you watch any good trailers?
I don't think I did.
Yeah, you did. I watched one called Carnival Row. It's going to have Orlando Bloom and Cara Delevingne. And it's an Amazon original series, and it looks like it takes place back in like the 20s or something, but it's nice. Yeah, mystical creatures have fled their land, and they're trying to get by now. Cool. It was like a 10-second promo, but it looks kind of cool.
All right.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark?
Well, yeah, but you sent it to me, so I didn't find any of my own this week.
Oh, okay.
I just, the ones you sent me to watch. I love those books, the stories when I was a kid. I'm excited. Like, I wasn't really jacked up about the first trailer that came out, but this trailer looks great.
It does.
Yeah.
It definitely looks like a kid movie.
Yeah.
But it'll still be enjoyable.
Yeah.
I'll probably won't see it in the theater.
No.
I saw one called Ad Astra. It's really weird. It's an astronaut movie.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the actor. But it looks interesting. He's got to go out into space because his dad went out into space. As soon as you bring it up, you'll be like, oh, it's Brad Pitt, maybe? I think it's like Brad Pitt and then Tommy Lee Jones is his dad or something.
Brad Pitt.
Yep.
Walt Disney flick.
Yeah.
Astronaut Roy McBride travels to the outer edges of the solar system to find his missing father and unravel a mystery that threatens the survival of our planet. His journey will uncover secrets that challenge the nature of human existence and our place in the cosmos.
Yet it's a Disney movie, and they'll probably try to cram too much.
It is Tommy Lee Jones, yeah.
Saw another preview for a movie called The Rook. The Rook? Actually, I think it's a TV series. It looks very interesting. It's another one of these mind-bending ones where the woman's watching a video of herself, and she's like, hi, if you're watching this, somebody caught me and wiped my memory. They're going to do some bad things, and they're coming back after you, so you need to fix this now. I like stuff like that. She is apparently an EVA, mm-hmm. which she's psychic, has yeah. telekinesis and powers like that, and these organizations out there traffic them. You know, they're powerful, so they sell yeah. them off, and they drug them up and stuff like that. Looks like a good thriller-ish with some supernatural kind of stuff to it.
Nice.
So I like that. The last one that I saw is an Amazon animated show called Undone. It's got Bob Odenkirk as the father, who's apparently dead, but his daughter's talking to him a lot because she bends reality. It looks pretty fucked up, and it looks really good. I'm really looking forward to that one. I'm looking forward to learning more about it. But it's all animated and odd animation.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
Other than that, just news. What you got?
Blumhouse is making a horror flick based on the Magic 8 Ball.
What?
Yeah.
So, building off their success with Ouija?
I don't know. But they're doing a horror flick based on the Magic 8 Ball. It's going to be the people that did Truth or Dare. They're doing this. Which I actually like Truth or Dare. I thought it was pretty good.
Just when you thought it was safe to go in the water. Next summer from Blumhouse. Hungry, hungry hippos.
Ah, I see where you're going with that. Indiana Jones 5 begins filming.
Dear Harrison Ford, he's like, when I die, Indiana Jones dies. Nobody will ever be Indiana Jones. There's a few people who are like, excuse us.
Release date, July 21st, 2021.
I don't care. Like, Indiana Jones was an important part of my childhood. Kingdom of the Crystal Skull sucked donkey dick.
Oh my god, it was so bad.
And I don't anticipate this one being any better, honestly. That's not me being cynical, that's me saying
right.
A realistic look at this does not make me think that it's going to be any better. So,
Punky Brewster's coming back.
In a cool way.
Yeah, Selena Moon Frye's returning as Punky. Single mother of three.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get back on track when she meets a young girl that reminds her of her young self.
I like it.
Yeah.
Because it's a sequel in
kinda, yeah. It's almost like the Boy Meets World, Girl Meets World type yeah. scenario, which I enjoyed Girl Meets World quite a bit. There was a lot of throwback to Boy Meets World on it, so but I don't know how much throwback we're going to get on Punky Brewster. That show was... I'd say it was as beloved by us than it was, but I think it's enough older from Boy Meets World that it didn't... It doesn't have, like... I think Mr. Mortimer's dead.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the announcement that Cherry's coming back.
Yeah, that's about it. That's about the only person that could come back, really. Maybe her mom.
What was it? What was the blonde girl's name? The little bitch?
Margo,
yes.
Yeah. So I'm actually looking forward to that. That's going to be good.
Yeah.
And then I just got, like, The Ranch got canceled by Netflix.
Yeah. I'd forgotten that it was even...
Deadly Class and Happy got canceled by Sci-Fi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not that upset. I've got the whole second season of Happy on my DVR. I don't know if I'm going to care to watch it.
Yep.
I deleted the last two episodes of Deadly Class because I was like, why do I bother?
Yep. That's all I got.
Dead to Me was renewed for a second season.
Oh, cool.
So you should finish that one up.
Yes, I will.
Netflix is making an animated Jurassic Park show for 2020.
Huh.
I don't know why.
Hmm.
But Dark Phoenix... Not doing so well.
Yeah.
Lowest Rotten Tomatoes score of any X-Men movie.
Yeah, and worst opening of every X-Men
that's
movie.
That's including the abysmal X-Men 3, which is the original Dark Phoenix story.
That's true.
And
people X-Men like
Origins
story.
Logan. Or X-Men Origins Wolverine with the shitty Deadpool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they hated it. And I put in my little note, sorry, Sophie Turner. You know, first Game of Thrones has its weakest season, and now Dark Phoenix is sucking dick. Poor Sophie.
Oh, well.
Bill and Ted's next adventure. They cast their daughters.
Yep. Unknowns.
No. You remember that Netflix movie, The Babysitter?
Yeah.
Yeah, the girl there who was the babysitter, that's going to be Ted's daughter.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That was a good flick.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yep. They have guaranteed that there will not be a second season of Chernobyl. It's done.
Yeah, that is.
It was meant to be a miniseries.
It was meant to be the five episodes to be done with, yeah.
Not much to report here, but just a rumor, Blade may be heading to Hulu.
Interesting.
Yeah, I could get behind that. I'd like to see some more Blade.
Yep.
After his great run on What We Do in the Shadows. The Good Place is ending after this next season.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that as well, yeah.
But it was the decision of the creator. It had nothing to do with the network, and the network was even kind of shocked. But he said, you know, he had this long, heartfelt thing, and he basically said this was never meant to be Friends. This was never meant to be like nine seasons.
Yeah.
This is not the type of show that lends itself to constant comedic, you know, changing.
He said it doesn't.
He said, we change the status quo constantly. We reinvent ourselves pretty much every week. This needs to have an ending, and I know exactly where it's going to end, and that's at the end of season four. And so I'm perfectly happy with that. I'm good with that, actually. And that's pretty much everything else that I have.
All right. I think that's an episode, then.
Sounds like it.
Coolio. All right. So, you know where to find us on the Twitter machines if you want to check us out. Yeah, I pluralized it this week. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm disgusted.
Yep. You're also the Quantum Geek, G33K.
Geek.
I know, right? That's the episode.
Have a good week. Talk to you next week.